thank you. Welcome back to our study of Colossians. We are in chapter 3, and we're going to pick up again with verse 9 of chapter 3. Lie not to one another, seeing that you have put off the old man with his deeds.
Put off the old man. That's just simply talking about the old nature. Okay? And so since we've put off that old nature, we shouldn't be lying. We shouldn't be doing these other things that is mentioned previously. Okay? Then when you go into the next verse, you don't just put off, but you put on.
Mm-hmm.
Okay?
And have put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him.
Now, here again, when a person is born again, they receive a new nature. Okay? But just because you receive a new nature doesn't mean you're going to do everything right. You have to get your mind programmed to agree with the nature. And there's people that have accepted Jesus, but they haven't renewed their mind. And so if you don't renew your mind with the Word of God, you're still thinking like the world. And I'm going to tell you, the church is full of worldly people still thinking like the world. And he's saying, put that off. Take that off. Put this on. And you get your mind renewed to where you're thinking like the nature of God, not like the nature of the world. You follow me? And then, I mean, obviously, Romans 12:2, you know, be not conformed to the world. Don't take on the shape of the world. But be transformed. I mean, that would be totally different than the world. And the only way that's going to occur is by getting yourself saturated with the Word of God. The more you put this in you, into your thinking, the more you'll think like it. But if you don't constantly keep it in, I'm not talking about a one-time thing. You can memorize the Scripture, for instance. And say, you know, somebody, you just keep that Scripture going all the time, day after day, and then stop. And somebody come to you 6-8 months later, you may find you don't know that Scripture. You only know parts of it. You have to constantly keep the Word of God fresh on the inside of you, okay? Renewing your mind. And it's like God told Joshua, you've got to be thinking on this day and night, meditating day and night on the Word of God. Don't stop thinking the Word of God. And I'm not talking about just quoting Scripture. That's not a bad thing. But you gauge everything in life to the Word. When you get into situations and circumstances, think, what does the Word say? You know, some say, well, what would Jesus do? Jesus is the Word. Okay, and it's the fact of disciplining yourself to think right. And I'm going to tell you, it's an effort, and it's the word is discipline. Otherwise, you're thinking wrong. And I'm not telling you something that I haven't had to practice, and I'm not telling you that I perfected it overnight, and I'm not telling you I have it perfected today. But thank God I'm a whole lot farther along than I used to be. You with me? To where we do our best to think like he thinks. What does the Word say about this? You hear all kinds of stuff. I'm telling you, I listen to a lot of different preachers. But I also am hearing a lot of stuff that's not true. I just listened to a song last night, and I thought, you know, this is a good melody, but the theology's wrong. And you know what you do? You teach error through song. You teach error through preaching and teaching. You present error out there. If you don't know the Word of God, and I'm talking about the Spirit of God revealing the Word to you, not what you learned out of somebody's book. Well, what's the Spirit of God showing you? This is where the true knowledge comes in. To where now no one can convince you otherwise because God has revealed it to you. you know it's right. That's where he wants to take us, not just in an information status, but to the revelation. This is where we start thinking like God. You get a revelation of it. But it starts with information. Let's put the information in. Give God something to work with. Fill up the reservoir. You understand? And then you start thinking about this day and night. Now, I've just have a personal practice. It's no doctrine, and I wouldn't teach it to men. But there are certain scriptures that I quote to myself out loud every single night before I go to bed. I say those things over myself. So I'm saying what God says. Just saying what He says. Over the, you know what happens? It starts getting in you, and over a period of time, you just might believe it. You stay with it. And then the revelation comes. And you think, wow, this is a true word for me. Not just for the general public, but this is a true word for me. And so you keep the word going. You lie there in bed while you're waiting to go to sleep, and you start thinking on the scriptures. You talking to God. You quote things to yourself, or you sing to yourself, singing and making melody in your heart. You understand? You teach yourself. You can teach yourself in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. You with me? Important to get our mind renewed with the Word of God, to where when something comes up, that's our mirror. We're looking at that, and that's going to be the reflection that we need to follow. That's what I want to look like. I want to look like that Word, not like the world. Does that make sense to you? Okay. You can see that in James 1:25.
Where there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcision nor uncircumcision, barbarian, Scythian, bond nor free, but Christ is all and in all.
You understand what he said here? In Christ. In Christ. We're talking about being born again. Okay? In Christ. There's no big I's, little U's. There's no positions like that. Salvation is even plain for everybody. It doesn't matter if you're a Jew, if you're not a Jew. It doesn't matter if you're a male or a female. It doesn't matter if you're a foreigner, you're not a foreigner. None of that matters. Salvation is a level ground. Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Okay? And so in Him, there is no segregation or partiality or prejudice in any way. We're all one in Him. Now, that doesn't have a thing to do with positions or gifts and abilities that God gives different people. This is exclusively about salvation in Him. You follow me? But obviously, the body of Christ is made up of many different members, just like the physical body, and all members don't have the same function. So you function in whatever that is. But as far as salvation, we're all on level ground. Jesus. Everybody needs Jesus. Everybody needs to be hidden in Jesus. Amen. Okay.
Verse 12, put on therefore as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercies, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering.
It's interesting that he uses the word put them on, clothe yourself as the ones God selected. Do you understand? If you're truly born again, you could not have come to Jesus unless God drew you to Him.
Mm-hmm.
That means you were selected.
Mm.
Okay? And select and elect are interchangeable here. All right? God select, God's elect. All right? And so as the elect of God, we should have the heart of God.
Mm.
Compassionate. You understand? And it's interesting how many cold-hearted professing Christians they are. But he goes on to say kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering. You have to be patient with people. None of us have arrived. We're all a work in progress. Some are farther along in their spiritual maturity than others. But we have to work with those who haven't gotten there. And those who are ahead of us have to work with us while we're growing to get there. And so we have to be patient with one another, understanding that a lot of the stuff that people does, most of the stuff that people will do that could offend you or hurt you or whatever is done out of immaturity and lack of knowledge. They're ignorant of God's ways. Now, if one is mature in the Lord and one really loves the Word of God, I want to give you a scripture. Psalm 119, verse 165. Great peace have those who love your law or your word, and nothing will offend them. Nothing will offend them. And the offend means it'll cause you to stumble. It'll trip you up. It's okay. And so if I truly love the Word of God, I'm going to look to the Word of God and not allow anything to cause me to stumble or trip up. Well, you know what they said about me? And that's what babies do. They cry and they tattletale and they do all this other stuff. But a mature Christian doesn't pay any attention to it. You understand? The love of the Word of God is stronger than all this stuff out here. It doesn't matter. You follow me? We're not looking to get things from people. Our fulfillment is coming from God, not people. The Word of God fulfills me. The Word of God makes me happy. You understand? So people, and you have to understand how I say this, so people are somewhat irrelevant. God's everything. And if the people are agreeing with God, that's icing on the cake. That's the bonus. If they're not, it's not going to mean anything. You don't let that trip you up. You're compassionate for them. I'll tell you what, there's people that I've seen just act like a devil. But inside you feel sorry for them because you know they're under the influence of the devil and they don't know they're under the influence of the devil. God, open their eyes. Don't let them fall into that trap and destroy themselves. You understand? Pride will destroy you. It's a trap of the devil. You with me? Ego destroys you. So all these things, the devil, all these works of the flesh, where's it coming from? It's coming, obviously, from Satan trying to get you to put attention on you rather than to put attention on the heart of God. The heart of God's a compassionate heart. He's kind. God's merciful. His truth endures forever. You understand? I mean, when you start looking at the things the Bible says about God, it's different than what religion says about God. God's not a tyrant out to get you. God loves you. Now, he doesn't love sin. But what he wants to do is love the sinner out of sin. The goodness of God leads you to repentance, not the judgment of God. If God just, you know, killed you because you did wrong, then that's history. Nothing you can do about it after that, right? No, but what God will do is deal with your heart. You look at the Old Testament, and especially with the way God dealt with the nation of Israel. Kindness, compassion. As a father crying out for the children, please listen to me. You're self-destructing. You're going the wrong direction. That was the heart of God. But you know what a father has to do when the child doesn't listen to him? He has to correct you. Mm. The Lord says, the Hebrew, writer of Hebrews says, whom the Lord loves, He corrects. And if He doesn't correct you, it says you're illegitimate. You with me? But He'll do it with a heart of compassion. He'll do it in mercy. He'll do it in grace. Now, that's how He expects the body of Christ to deal with people. In compassion, in love, with grace, with mercy. Endurance, patience. I remember asking the Lord one time how long it was going to take the people to get what I was teaching. You know what He said? How long did it take you? Well, I have no more defense. It was the best I could tell. It had taken me about 30-some years. And I'm complaining about 2 or 3 weeks. It sort of puts things in perspective. No, you be patient with them like I've been patient with you. You with me? The goodness of God is what's going to bring people in to the kingdom of God. Amen. The kingdom of God is the rule of God. It's God's goodness that will bring you under His rule. Had you rather serve someone beating you up or someone that's looking out after your best interest? And so God gives us an incentive to submit to the kingdom because He's looking out after our best interest. Now, flesh doesn't think that. But at gut level, the spirit man knows that if I'll do what God says, it'll be in my best interest. You with me? I knew if I obeyed my mom and dad, it was in my best interest. But my flesh didn't like it. And so I let it rule. And it wasn't in my best interest. Mom and dad knew more than I did. They were my age one time. You know what I'm saying? God can relate to us. Jesus walked this earth in a physical body. So He knew how to overcome it. Not paying attention to the body. Paying attention to the spirit. Okay? I think there's some more to that in there. Next verse.
Verse 13. Forbearing one another and forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do you.
Well, think about that. Forbearing one another, putting up with one another. Mm. So He says, forbearing one another, forgiving one another. Now that you think about this, did Jesus forgive you? Did you deserve it? But why is it we think that for us to forgive someone, they have to deserve it? They have to earn our forgiveness. I've had the Lord to tell me to start treating someone like I wanted Him to treat me. Now, that'll sober you. But, oh, God, please don't treat me that way. You understand? No. We forgive one another as Christ has forgiven us. Not deserving. Not holding anything over our head. You know, well, I'll forgive you, but I won't forget. No, you didn't forgive.
Mm-hmm.
Because when it's a true forgiving, it'll get the slate. It'll just wipe it off.
Mm-hmm.
No. What you did in the past is irrelevant. You know, I had someone just here recently to call me and actually apologize for some things of the past. And I said, you don't owe me any apology. I mean, I accept what you're saying, but I never thought anything about it to begin with as far as taking anything personal. You understand? Don't let it take root. Don't let it get in your heart. And if you meditate on it, it'll get in your heart, and you know what happens? You start resenting. And then bitterness will get in your heart. And you know who that hurts? You. Mm-hmm. And I'll tell you what it'll do. It'll sever your fellowship with the Lord. It'll hinder your prayers. You have to keep yourself clean. Father knows best. He says, forgive them. Quarrel? Let me ask you this. What difference does it make who's right and wrong? God's always right. If I'm right and you don't agree with it, you don't agree with it. Though you submit to all the battle line with you and tried to make you believe like I believe. But just God deal with your heart. You do me wrong, forgive you. Forgive you. I had a man to tell me, you know, a Christian brother didn't do you like that, but I'm going to love him anyway. Now, that's the attitude. And I mean, this man practiced that too. And we say, I don't have anything else to do with you. Now, you may not need them, but they need you. You don't need an ungodly example. They need a godly example. Mm. And you don't give a godly example by acting like the example you're seeing. Mm. You follow me? God is calling us to be the light. We're to be the example. We're to show people the way. And if you're walking in the ways of the world, you're not going to show them the way to God. If you're acting like they act, you're not going to lead them to God. It took me a long time to realize that it doesn't matter what the people agree with me or they don't agree with me. What I have to do is make sure I'm right with God. And if I'm right with God and you don't agree, I had a fellow to tell me one time in a particular position, he said, well, you may want me to leave this position because on a certain issue we had different thoughts. I said, no. It's not going to bother me. There's some days you might not agree with yourself. You can't let that. Now, if this issue is of eternal importance, that's one thing. But when it's, I think this and I think that and I think, let's let God be the final judge and reveal it. And you have to admit you don't know everything. Understand? So I don't try to police the world. I'm not the judge of everybody's life. That the Lord Jesus Christ is the judge. And I have to turn the judgment of that person over to the Lord. Now I can judge the content or the action, but not the person. And I have a responsibility of doing that, to guard my own heart. You with me? But God's wanting me to operate with His heart. God's wanting you to operate with His heart. And how's His heart? It's a forgiving heart. It's a forgiving heart. Well, who's right and who's wrong? Both of you wrong if you argue. I rest my case. God hasn't called us to argue. Amen? Okay. I heard a man say one time, never argue with a fool. A passerby may not know which one of you is a fool.
Verse 14. And above all these things, put on charity, which is the bond of perfectness.
Now, I want you to think about that. Charity obviously is love. Mm-hmm. Above all this other. I mean, you showed the compassion, you're kind. You're kind and you're patient with people, but above all, you put on this love. Bond is an adhering fact. You understand? This building has brick, but it takes something to hold these brick together. And the mortar bonds the brick together to make it a whole building. You with me? Many years ago, the Lord told me that love is what bonds the body of Christ together. It's love. It's like glue. And yet at the same time, he said, and he compared it to a brick building. He said some brick are right there side by side, one on top of another. It's like ministry gifts. Some can work right there together. But there may be others on the other side of the building. It's not that they're any less a gift. They're still a gift. They're still a brick. But they're not one that works side by side with you. Well, you don't focus on the brick on the other side of the building and criticize that brick. You don't. That's none of your concern. You just focus on the ones that God's put in your path. You work with them, and you keep the body together in love. You understand? You think about any family relationship, husband, wife, children, and all that. Any of you have children, you know that they're not perfect. Every once in a while, they might even make a mistake.
Mm-hmm.
Do you disown them? Or do you love them? You still love them. You detest what they're doing wrong. But you love the child. God loves us. And God wants the members of the body to love the members of the body. And let's help one another instead of drawing battle lines with one another. You follow me? We have to learn to work together, and love is going to be the factor. Now, here's the thing. It'll have to be the love of God. We're not talking about affection and, you know, slobbering all over one another. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about genuine love of God. 13th chapter of 1 Corinthians, if you want to read the 16 distinct qualities of love, okay? Love never fails. Bears all things, hopes all things, endures all things. It'll work through. And any of you rearing children knows you have to work through some stuff. You love them anyway, but you work through it. Well, God worked through some stuff with us, but He loves us anyway. And He expects us to work through stuff with the members of the body of Christ. Love them anyway. It's like siblings. They should be loving one another. You know, I was just talking to someone today about, you know, there's three of us boys, and my older brother and I, we never had any problems. We got along fine. But my younger brother was, he just had a whole lot of mouth. Okay? And he's going to stir up something. I mean, I don't care who he was with, where he was with, he's going to stir up something. Everything going peaceful there at the house, he can't stand it. He got to stir up something. You understand? Donnie didn't pay any attention to it, but, you know, I felt like I had to set the record straight, and we fought all the time. But, you know, the interesting thing about that is after I went in service and he went in service, we all out of service and all that, we really bonded on a mutual love for one another. And yet we were different as night and day, all three. Pat can tell you. The personalities were different, our way of thinking different. But I'll guarantee you any one could call the other at any time, day or night, and he'd be there. You with me? That's love. That's love. Now, love would say whatever. Speak the truth in love. That's the key. Speak the truth, but make sure it's in love. You love one another. That's the way the body of Christ should be, not fighting, but speaking the truth to one another in love. And you prefer one another. You don't see yourself more important than another member of the body. I've been in this so much, and you know, because we're small, and I've been referred to as a little pastor, you know, poor little insignificant thing, just little, sort of like David's brother says, who did you leave that those few sheep with? You know what I mean? You got to learn not to pay any attention to that and work with those people that are saying that. Because there's a big harvest out there. We don't need to be fighting. We need to be working with one another. And if I take offense to that, then it's pride. Now, by them saying that, they're in pride. They think they're more important than this person. But the bottom line, without these little insignificant pastors, you couldn't get this big work done.
Mm-hmm.
It's dependent upon that. And I can tell you, any leadership is depending upon people to help him do what God's called him to do. Can't do it by yourself. Jesus can't get the job done on earth that he wants done without the body of Christ. That's why God made a body of Christ, to carry on the ministry of Jesus. But Jesus' ministry was never arguing. It was never competition. I mean, he had guys, who's the greatest?
Mm-hmm.
You know what his reply to that is? The one that's servant to all. The greatest servant, that's the one. Not pseudo-service, but one who has a heart to service. That's not looking for position, not looking for a title. Well, that eliminates a lot of people in the church today because they're vying for position. It's political. You understand? No, we ought to have a passion in our heart. I want to serve God. And I serve God by serving the body of Christ, supplying whatever they need that I have. If my gift will meet their need, I'll supply it. If there's another gift, then I step back and let that gift operate and not get jealous. Are you with me? Okay, we've got to learn to work together. And it's going to be when we open our hearts wide open and let the Holy Spirit shed abroad God's love in us, to where we genuinely love. And I'll just be honest with you, it took me a long time before I was willing to do that. But I'm going to tell you what, it's a liberating thing when you do. Then what people do don't bother you per se. You're concerned about things, but it doesn't move you. You stay right there with what God's called you to do. Amen.
Verse 15, and let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to which also you were called in one body, and be ye thankful.
Now this is interesting. Many of you know the word let is a permission,
mm-hmm.
allow. And so what God is saying to us through this verse is allow peace, my peace, to rule in you. Well, how do I do that? Isaiah 26:3 says, you will keep him in mm-hmm. perfect peace whose mind is stayed on you because he trusts in you. Lack of peace is lack of trust. You need to think about that, okay? And so I am to allow God's peace to rule my heart. In order for that to happen, I have to keep my mind on the Lord. Hold your peace. Have you ever heard that? That means something's trying to take it.
Mm.
Hold on to it. No. You can't have my peace. Circumstances will try to take your peace. All kinds of things that will come at you in your daily life that will try to take your peace away, try to get you to worry, try to get you to upset. I had it happen today. But thank God I didn't get my peace. You understand? And it all worked out. That's the beauty of it. You can get yourself all worked up over nothing. I'll tell you this. I have to get on top of some stuff in my head, just like everybody else does. But you better do it quickly, and you better do it continuously, or you'll lose your peace.
Mm.
Hold on to it. you allow God's peace to rule in your heart. Don't you concern yourself with what anybody else is saying. Don't you concern yourself with what's going on around you. You concern yourself with God, the Word of God, the Spirit of God. What's God doing in here? He said, hold ye peace. Hold ye peace. Sometimes that means, as we would say, bite your tongue. Mm-hmm. You know? Mama used to tell me, you don't need to be giving a piece of your mind to anybody. You don't have enough to spare.
Mm-hmm.
Pretty good advice, you understand. Hold ye peace. Amen?
Amen.
Okay, I think our time's up, so we'll stop right there. Okay. This has been an interesting night, the way this is all transpired, because I'll promise you none of it was premeditated. It was spontaneous. So I love you, you love me. And oh, how happy we will be, right? Okay. Father, I thank you that you bless us indeed, enlarge our territory, your hands with us to keep us from evil so that we do not cause pain. You bless us and keep us. You make your face to shine upon us. You're gracious unto us. You lift up your counsel upon us and you give us peace. So, Lord, we invite you to rise up, let your enemies be scattered, those who hate you be before you. Amen.
Amen.
Amen.